Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 18 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Perkley Radenhuis. We're talking markets, we're talking charts. He's got some ideas. We'll be chatting with Clive Eggers. He's head of investments at GTC. Politics is a poison in a portfolio. And David Kroser from PPS. And they're overweight SA assets at this point. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb: why MTN wants or no needs Telkom. That was the big news on the JSC on Friday. And frankly, MTN wants Telkom's fiber network. Business day, Sasol does not expect fuel shortage as it pulls work at the Natref refinery. They declared a force majeure. Simply, they couldn't get oil to the refinery. But seemingly it could be fine in a couple of days. Truthfully, petrol price where it is, who's driving where anyway? Morning markets, US was green on Friday. S&P up 1.9%, NASDAQ up 1.8%. Asia, we've got Sydney up 0.9%. We've got Tokyo closed for Marine Day. They do have the best holidays. Commodities, mostly green. Gold, $1,716. Brent, $101.84 a barrel. Platinum, $844. Palladium, the red on the screen, $1,881. Rand, $1,705. Top 40 opening call, 900 points to the green. That is 1.5% higher. That is 10 cent trades down, up 2.3% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Perkley Radenhuis from Herenia Capital Advisors. Perkley, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. A bunch that from your update of yesterday I want to chat on, but time constraints. You're talking in the US, you say it's all going to be about earnings. Of course, that kicked off Thursday evening in the US. But you're saying, hang on a sec, China might actually be worth having a look, and maybe even for traders, a long China short S&P 500 trade.
Good morning. And yes, so, you know, one of the ideas is that basically we have a divergence of policy and I suppose economic trajectories, right, where you see China almost throwing the kitchen sink again, doing everything they can to stimulate their economy and get their GDP up to target. They're preparing, you know, massive infrastructure spending and all the rest, while on the other side of the Pacific, the U.S. is tightening monetary policy, trying to cool their economy down. Trying to contain inflation. So I think that, you know, what we've basically seen in the post-COVID era is that China, you know, went hard and fast with the lockdowns and is starting to recover from the post-COVID period, I guess, faster than the rest of the world. And I think that, you know, obviously there is heightened recession risk and all these types of things. He says very bearishly on a Monday morning when the market's poised to open up 900 points. But I think that, you know, if we do have a, you know, in both scenarios, if we have an immediate recovery of financial markets here, I think China probably outperforms the U.S. A little bit, particularly tech, because it's underperformed, you know, U.S. tech by some margin. And if we go into this sort of protracted longer term, you know, maybe a recessionary market, another 6 or 9 months of bear market, I think that China relatively outperforms the U.S., right? Yeah. So it's a fairly sort of low-risk idea, in my view, at least.
Okay, I take your point. And I think, yeah, the logic is there. And notwithstanding, as you say, a 900-pointy here, but that's Monday. And you know what? Things could change by tea time on Monday. And I'm talking morning, not even afternoon tea. But Brent oil been up, almost 140 when the war broke out in Ukraine, back testing the 100. You think it could perhaps get back to 90? There's a fair bit of a support, a trend line, and that could be a buying opportunity if it does.
Yeah, so two things really. One, it was trading around 97-ish pre-Ukraine invasion or pre-war. So it's come back to test that 97 level in the last couple of days. It didn't stay down there. It's bounced back above 101, I think, is the current price. So we do have a horizontal support around that 97 level, which was the previous sort of pre-breakout or pre-war breakout level, right? Mm-hmm. The primary trend line, though, and as we've seen with time, and I think Garth McKenzie had a tweet about it yesterday also, talking about the dollar index, in fact, the US dollar index, where, you know, at some point the trend becomes so steep, and, you know, everybody's kind of like talking about the same thing, and the trend is really steep. At that point, we generally see a pullback towards the sort of longer term trend line. So, you know, when you're looking at trend analysis in markets, you might look at primary, tertiary, or primary, secondary, and tertiary trends. And the primary trend is generally the very sort of, you know, not steep slope, the long term trend, where things tend to mean revert back to, right? And I think that level at the moment, at least for oil, is around, currently around $90 is where that long-term trend line support is in. So if we fail around the 97 level, we probably go down to $90. And, you know, that'll be on the back of global recession fears and, you know, the world's going to end and earnings season was bad and everything is, you know, oil was never supposed to be that high in the first place. But the reality of the fact is that, yes, we might be heading into a slowdown, a global recession where economic activity is lower and energy demand is lower, but we are also still in an energy deficit. We don't produce enough energy for our needs, and we need to find something else. I mean, yes, oil has cooled off quite a bit, but natural gas prices in Germany is still at all-time highs, and people are being rationed with energy. There is a shortage. So the structure in the market hasn't really changed. Oil is extremely under extreme amounts of pressure at the moment due to, you know, extremely negative sentiment, due to extremely negative economic conditions. So we can understand that it's under pressure. But if the market pushes it too far to, say, $90, I think that's a buying opportunity.
Yeah, I take your point on that. And then dollar, we haven't got time to discuss it, but both you and Garth saying that that dollar, US dollar chart has gone vertical and a correction, and it is more likely. And in fact, the ZAR perhaps back to 1650. Petra Redden has Herenia Capital Advisors. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Clive Eggers, head of investments at GTC. Clive, appreciate the early morning. A great piece from you coming out last week, quoting you fairly extensively, titled "Why Politics is Poison in a Portfolio." And you back it up with the data and going back some 2 years ago. And I'd actually forgotten about this when the Reserve Bank, some Reserve Bank commentary led many to think, incorrectly, we learned eventually, that there was going to be no limit to offshore in Reg 28 funds. And everyone was suddenly keen, rushed to the exits, take all the money offshore and exit South Africa. Truth is, we were letting emotions really get in the way around sort of essays of failed state rather than actually looking at proper hard data.
Morning, Simon. Thank you for having me on the show. Yes, absolutely. Once again, on the back of that that piece of information that hit the news media, emotion dominated investor sentiment, and there was a lot of call for investors to take everything offshore from certain pundits in the market. And at the time, we were very concerned with that narrative, and you know, with the potential impact on investors, because as the article shows, and as we know from history, basing investment decisions on that kind of sort of emotionally based investment decision almost inevitably leads to wrong decision making with seriously detrimental consequences over the longer term.
Yeah, and you make the point that folks who had done that at that point are actually poorer for it. I mean, the other piece of data that you pull out, which always fascinates me, but it's hard data and it's real. In RAND terms, local outperforms offshore. And we need to stress, I mean, you know, often I think we look at a six-month period or maybe even a couple of years, and I'm thinking particularly the NASDAQ and the couple of years leading up to the pandemic and then sort of post-pandemic. In the short term, sometimes not, but over the long term, actually, our market does okay.
Absolutely. I don't know what it is about us South Africans, but we have a hard time backing ourselves. And so it's often a surprise when we see that our market has outperformed international markets. And indeed, if you think about the currency versus the dollar, it often catches us by surprise when it strengthens.
Mm.
Statistics can be slightly misleading, and obviously even a 20-year data point is influenced. But if you think back to what was happening 20 years ago, it was actually a similar type of environment in one way, and that was the rand had blown out based on factors that weren't entirely about fundamentals.
Yeah, I remember that. That was December 2001. Rand hit, I think, 1361, and it was completely insane. The other point, the last question is, you say, so Regulation 28, it's been gazetted, so from, I think, 3rd of Jan, you can now do 45% offshore. But you say that your modeling actually suggests 30 to 40% is actually the ideal number. Therefore, the 45 becomes moot.
Yes, I think we welcome the change in legislation on some level. In the past, a lot of accusation has been leveled at retirement fund restrictions as being too restrictive for South African investors. I think what we're saying now at 45%, there would be very few reasons to actually ever take your portfolio up to that level based on our research. And so, in effect, exchange control is almost a non-issue for retirement fund investors in South Africa, which is fantastic news.
Yeah, I take the point. If it becomes a non-issue, that is fantastic news. I mean, then we can invest as we want. We'll leave it there. Clive Eggers, Head of Investments at GTC, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with David Grusso. He's Chief Investment Officer at PPS Investments. David, appreciate the time today. One of the truisms around markets is that they are cyclical. And as a multi-manager, I imagine you're looking interest rates, inflation, economic growth, whether they're structurally going to be changing, whether they're going to be higher or lower than what we've assumed in the past.
Yes, exactly. It's been an extremely challenging period for markets, given the uncertainty around markets. And I think it's important for all of us to try to step back a bit and think, has anything fundamentally changed to the long-term picture? We fully expect markets to go through cycles and to have recessions. And indeed, at the moment, markets are clearly concerned about the prospect of a recession. But ultimately, we know we need to invest in markets to generate long-term returns for our clients and try not to make too many short-term changes. So, you know, provided us and most investors are able to stick to their process, it's in times like this that will really pay dividends for investors if you're able to look through the noise and not make too many hasty changes.
It is that noise, and I know it's easy for you and I to have a conversation and say, you know, to ignore it, focus on long term. Folks often find that harder. That given, I mean, longer terms, structurally high inflation. I mean, my sense is that yes, we've got inflation now. Yes, we're at multi-decade highs in developed markets, but that it's not structural and it will work its way out of the system.
Yeah, that's certainly our base case. And I mean, the real risk, I suppose, to our positioning is if that is not the case. And if inflation persists and the Fed and the SARB are forced to raise rates far higher than the market's currently expecting. So although there's an aggressive interest rate cycle priced into the markets in the next sort of 12 to 18 months, you know, consensus is that should be sufficient and inflation then will be under control. I mean, if that's the case, although we've had a very challenging year, we're a good way through this current correction, and investors with a longer term perspective should stick it out or even start to carefully or cautiously add to their positioning. But if we're in a really difficult inflationary environment, that's certainly not being priced into markets, and that's a real tail risk. But it's certainly not our base case, and it's something that one does need to be aware of.
And GDP, a lot of concerns right now around recession. Again, that's a short-term issue. If we look out longer term, I mean, we've had a fairly decent GDP globally over the last decade or two. Do we return to those sort of levels once we're through this current market correction?
Yeah, we would certainly hope that. I mean, clearly forecasters are still a bit behind the curve. So we're seeing downgrades to economic growth forecasts. I mean, the IMF is likely to downgrade further, and we've seen that this year. So, you know, there will come a time when those downgrades would be in the price, and then we'd start to see upgrades again. I think it's too early for that yet. We're still likely to see a challenging environment, and and earnings are likely to be downgraded also in the short term. But, you know, we expect these cycles, and we need to invest through these cycles. I think trying to time the cycle and, well, I mean, if the investor that got out before this all started to happen has obviously got perfect foresight. But if you're in the cycle, trying to get out now, you've got to then decide when you're going to get back in, and it becomes very difficult. So, I mean, I think the message we're trying to give to our investors is, look, this has been challenging. Most of you are hopefully diversified across managers and across asset classes, and you've been able to contain some of this volatility, but it's likely to stay volatile. But you've got time on your side for those of you that have got a reasonable time horizon, and you've got diversification, and the managers in this kind of environment are typically able to find opportunities and find companies that are resilient and to find mispricing. So this is often the perfect place for the managers that one rates really to set up the portfolios to thrive in future. So though on the short term, it looks very challenging, one needs to try to stick through this and trust the process and trust that one's appropriately invested.
And I like the point you make. If you got it right at the end of last year and you exited the market, you've now got to make that second decision about when to get back into the market. It's not one, it's two decisions, and they're as hard as each other. If you bring it down to some of the allocation, one of the points you made was that your portfolio is, you actually overweight SA assets. You believe that you're getting sufficient compensation for risk of what might be mediocre economic growth.
Yes, and I mean, and that's quite a consensus position in the industry. Most South African asset managers have overweight South African assets through this. And, you know, South African assets clearly are looking attractively priced. I mean, our inflation-linked bonds are now giving us a 4% real return. Yeah. And South African equities are trading on very attractive valuations. Clearly, though, one needs to manage that risk. I mean, when we say we overweight SA, we still have a diversified portfolio and have a reasonable allocation to foreign assets as well. But yes, to your point, South African assets do look attractive, but obviously with that comes the risk, and they are sensitive to a more pronounced slowdown globally. But certainly us and most of the industry, has got a significant exposure to South African assets given their attractive valuations.
And a lot of it, and you've mentioned it a couple of times in the conversation, is around that diversification. You mentioned inflation-linked bonds. They're attractive at 4% real, but you never go all in. It's about managing those different asset classes and having local offshore cash, near cash and the like.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, maybe one of the interesting factors that we are, I mean, interest rates obviously, cash since the global financial crisis has really disappointed, and interest rates stayed abnormally low for a very long time. And I suppose the challenge we all need to get our heads around is it likely that cash rates could actually be a lot more attractive going forward for a lot longer than the market thinks? And that's not necessarily a base case scenario, but certainly we have brought more cash into our portfolios given the factor that if the environment does turn very negative, this would be attractive. But again, I want to stress we're not making radical asset allocation moves. We're acknowledging the future is very uncertain. And so I think the most important thing is try to stay diversified and try to be able to do reasonably well across a number of different scenarios, because none of us really knows with any degree of certainty exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, and it's more about small tweaks at the end than bold giant calls. We'll leave it there. David Crosso, he's Chief Investment Officer at PPS Investments. David, appreciate the time. David made the point there that markets are not expecting long-term structurally higher inflation. And our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter is, do you think inflation will be passing and hence tracking lower in 2023 and ultimately in the US getting sub 2%? In South Africa, we'll get back into our band easy enough. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. A poll on Friday, we've been chatting with Skulk Lowe around that tech sell-off and how there's some similarities to the sell-off in 2000, and which was a horror show. We asked if we were heading for a repeat of the dot-com bust. It was equally split between all three options. A third of you were saying, absolutely looks like it. Another third was saying, nope, we're good. While the last third was saying, you hope not. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabokle, Nicole Tetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.